Good morning, church family. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5? As you're doing that, just by way of introduction, just let me just simply say it is a joy to be back, and I'm so grateful for the invitation of Pastor Harry that he would entrust this pulpit once again to allow me to open God's Word. It is a joy to open God's Word, period, no matter where I am, no matter what the opportunity is. It is always a joy to preach God's Word, but I need you to hear me say this morning, it is a special joy to be preaching God's Word to you, to be here with my extended family here in New York. I would have to call my church in Queens my family in that sense, and you guys are my extended family, and it's an honor to open God's Word with you. And then secondly, by way of introduction, I just want to speak and thank Pastor Harry again and apologize for missing your installation. Because of many of the things we're going to talk about this morning, about the importance of shepherding your flock, my church in Queens, we meet on Sunday nights, and I was missing the next week and wasn't able to miss 2 weeks in a row, but just want to say that I hate that I missed it. But in light of that, the text this morning is very much a challenge to you. And so I'm going to read the passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, and then we will jump into what God's Word has to say this morning. So if you're with me in 1 Peter chapter 5, would you just simply say amen? Verse 1 says this, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Let me pray for us. Jesus, once again, we come to you. We come to your word. And Father, we pray that you would be glorified once more in our time, that our time would be pleasing to you. Our worship would be pleasing unto you. And Father, I pray that as we study your word, would you challenge, would you transform, and would you convict us this morning? We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Preaching 101, when you are learning to preach, for myself this was true, as well as when I try to mentor preachers that are coming up. Preaching 101 is that before you ever come to the pulpit to preach God's word, whatever text that may be, you must first have preached that word to yourself. It's a play on words. It's figurative in the sense of it needs to have affected you. You need to have first preached it to yourself, applied it to yourself, so that you don't come to handle God's word irreverently or hypocritically. However, this morning, I'm going to take that to the next level, because literally the text is towards pastors. The text is towards preachers, and I'm literally going to preach a message to myself as a pastor, and specifically a message to Pastor Harry as your pastor. Now, someone in here who might have a little more of a sarcastic sense of humor might simply said, "Well, if this was a conversation between you two, couldn't y'all have done this over coffee? What's the need for us to be here?" And I would simply just say, hold on a second, that all of God's word is applicable to all of us. And even though specifically the application is for the elders that are in the room, which is Pastor Harry and myself, specifically over this church, Pastor Harry, all of you, and it applies to all of us, so that you understand the incredible call that is on his life and what it is that you sit under and are shepherded by, and specifically God's word. And so you in your bulletin were given a handout this morning, and I just want to give that to you just to help you follow along. And I just want to simply explain and give you the main point of what I believe this text is and the main point of the sermon this morning. It is simply this: elders shepherd the members of your church. Elders shepherd the members of your church. First things first, what is an elder? Is it the same thing as a pastor, or is it something different? What is the purpose of an elder? What authority does an elder have? Who can be an elder? Although we won't answer all of those are questions that should be coming to mind when you see passages like this. When it talks about an elder, what is it? But to answer the first question, is the elder the same thing as a pastor? Let me say it at least in how I will use it, because I recognize some churches use the language of pastor differently, and so it's different from church to church. But biblically, in how I will use it this morning, elder and pastor are synonymous. How I, when I say elder, or if I say pastor, and I will use them interchangeably this morning, know that we're saying the same thing. And that's important, because if I were to ask you the question, what is an elder? Some of us, because we may not be used to that language, I myself grew up in a church that did not use that language, and so if someone asked me what is an elder, I'm not sure I could have fully answered that question. But if someone were to ask me what is a pastor, I would have readily enough been able to give you an answer. Now, whether it was the right answer, that's a different conversation, but I would at least been able to give you an answer. And so that's important. So if I were to ask you the question, what is a pastor? What is an elder? Those words are the same. And so what comes to mind when that question is asked? Nevertheless, even though we see those as the same, I want to do my best to look at this passage and answer what is the biblical understanding of an elder or pastor and what is his responsibility from this passage. And according to this passage, Peter gives one ultimate command to elders, and it is simply this: shepherd the flock of God that is among you. There's only one imperative in this text. There's only one command. Now, it gives explanation to it, but there's one command in this text that Peter is giving, and it is to shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Hence, the main point of the sermon: elders, shepherd the members of your church. Flock equaling members in language here. So what does it mean? And we're going to fill in these truths, four truths this morning, of what does it mean for an elder to shepherd the flock? And I'm going to have a challenge to Pastor Harry, but allow for us to sit in on this challenge and be convicted as well. First, it means to shepherd the flock among you means to protect the flock. Protect the flock. Truth number one, protect the flock. Titus 1, verses 5 through 9. And verse 9 is what we're getting at to the language of protect. But I want to read verses 5, beginning verse 5, so we can at least see in our time together a description of the qualifications of an elder. Titus 1, beginning of verse 5, says this, Paul writing to Titus, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders or pastors in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer," which Paul's is the same thing synonymously here as elder, pastor, overseer, different language meaning the same things, "but as an overseer, he is God's stewards, he must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but he must be hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined." And here's the text dealing with the truth of protection. "He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also rebuke those who contradict it." Paul writing in Ephesus, or excuse me, Paul in Acts talking to the elders in Ephesus would say this in Acts 20, 29 through 31. "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears." When we think about a pastor, an elder, an overseer, and the call that God has on those leaders, shepherding is just one of the illustrations and metaphors that is used. There are others, and so shepherding isn't exhaustive. However, shepherding is very visual. In and of itself, the first century audience would have been able to picture exactly what a shepherd was and did. For many of us who may have grown up in the city, not in rural areas, it might not be as easy to picture this illustration, but it would have been readily enough for the audience to hear shepherd the flock and would have immediately understood that a shepherd is to protect the flock from outside danger. That one of the roles as a shepherd is, according to Acts 20, what we just read, is to recognize that there will those that will come from outside of the church. There will come from those outside of the body who will try to divide and bring harm to the flock. And even, verse 30 says, from among within, there will at times come those that will bring harm to the church. And you must, as a pastor, as an elder, you must shepherd and protect the flock from outside and internal dangers. And we see specifically at the heart of those dangers come from false doctrine, not being obedient to God's word, not knowing God's word. And so the foundation for fighting and protection begins with God's word. So grateful for Pastor Harry and his conviction and the conviction of this church to say that we will study and know God's word and we will submit to God's word. That we will not treat God's word like a buffet line. I want some of this, but don't want some of that. We trust that all of it is good for us. All of it is from God's word. All of it is authoritative, and therefore we will sit under it. And as Pastor Harry is responsible for using this as the source to know sound doctrine and to protect the church. I want to illustrate it this way, and this may simply be my upbringing, and may simply be some of the southern things that I was taught from a kind of the southern lifestyle. But one of the things that I was taught from a young age from my father is that I now apply as a husband who's also has the role of protecting my wife and kids physically, spiritually. But physically, one of the ways that I was taught was that when my wife and I walk along the road, especially here in New York, we see this a lot. We do a lot of walking. But even with my kids, if I'm walking along the road, I always stand in between the road and my family. It's just one of those things that I was taught. I do it by second nature because of my natural call to protect my family. Now, all of us, when we think about protecting family, we think about if someone were to kick in my front door, that I'm up ready to protect my family. But we don't often think about the small things, like simply positioning myself on a daily basis in between what might be accidental harm coming from the road and my family. With my kids, this plays true in the sense of I'm protecting them from what may come from the road, but I'm also protecting them from my kids and just youngness and not knowing keeping them from running into danger. And so I position myself from outside harm and from inside running into danger. In a similar way, a pastor to protect the flock must position himself in such a way to protect from outside danger, but also protect from inside danger in a loving and careful way. Similarly, is for my wife that even in moments when we can't stand side by side, that when she's walking and I'm always walking usually behind her if I can't be beside her. Why? Because I'm protecting her back and I can always see what's coming ahead. When we go into a restaurant, she knows that I'm always going to sit with my back to the wall where I can see the door was coming in. Why? I'm positioning myself as a protection over my family. And in the same way, to shepherd the flock means that you will position yourself as pastor, as elder, to protect the flock. So what's the application for those who are not pastors and elders in this room? It is to allow yourself and allow your pastor to position himself to protect you. See, it's one thing for me to choose to stand where I stand or walk where I walk or sit where I sit with my family. It's another thing for my wife to recognize that that is my desire and that is my calling and her also intentionally positioning herself in a place where I can protect her. Or in a place where I can be in between accidental harm or even intentional harm. And so the challenge to you is you recognize that God has called Pastor Harry, he has called the elders, Pastor Harry in this moment to protect you. He will desire and he will position himself to protect you. But the application to you is will you allow him to position himself to protect you? So not only, truth number one, what does it mean to shepherd the flock? It means to protect the flock. Truth number two, it means to feed the flock. I can't help but to think that this is Peter writing. And John chapter 21 comes to mind where Jesus is having a conversation with Peter. And I want you all to see the beauty of this conversation. And I want to give you the context quickly. But we see that when Peter originally was called into ministry, that Jesus is having a conversation with Peter, and there's other disciples that were there. But what happened was Peter was out fishing, and he was unable to catch anything. Now, we understand from other passages of Scripture, this was not the first time Jesus met Peter, but this was the moment where Jesus is calling Peter out into leadership, into ministry, and what would be an apostle and pastor and elder. And it was in this moment where he hadn't caught any fish that Jesus tells him, hey, why don't you just, you know, try one more time. Just try one more time. And he's like, I've been fishing all night, haven't caught anything. But if you say so, you're a teacher. You don't know anything about fishing, but sure, I'll listen to you. This kind of Peter's attitude I sense from the text. And he listens to his rabbi, and he finds that his rabbi, that in the moment this miracle took place and all these fish he caught. And in that moment, I believe it's the first time we see Peter call Jesus Lord. He recognized who he was, and he recognized the calling that the Messiah was calling Peter to lead in leadership. And he dropped everything and stepped into this leadership. He stepped into being a disciple. Now we understand, time goes on during the crucifixion, that Peter denied Jesus three times. Now, what's interesting about John chapter 21 is Peter has seen Jesus resurrected. He knows that Jesus is alive. And so Peter is back fishing, not because Peter doesn't believe Jesus is the Messiah or that Jesus is dead. He knows he's alive. He knows he's resurrected. But he's back fishing because he doesn't believe that his call to leadership is still valid because of his sin. And we see this beautiful picture of Jesus restoring Peter back into elder apostle leadership. And I want you to see the language that he does so. One, he does the exact same miracle to bring Peter back to the memory of that time years before. And we see this great miracle of Peter catching these fish. We see that he immediately recognizes what's going on and he runs after Jesus. He swims back to Jesus and Jesus has a conversation with him. After breakfast, and it says this in John chapter 21. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And I believe in the text he was referring to the fish. Do you love me more than the fish? Do you love me more than the worldly things? Do you love me more than just this? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Jesus said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to them, then tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said this to him a third time. Do you love me? And Peter responded, Lord, you know everything. And you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. It's no doubt that Peter, when he's thinking about the role of eldership, pastorship, overseer, and specifically for Peter, apostleship, when he's thinking about these leadership and he's given a charge in 1 Peter chapter 5, he uses the very same language and illustration that Jesus uses with him, a shepherd. And no doubt Peter had in mind, John chapter 21, this idea of feeding the sheep. And so what does that mean? 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, therefore an overseer, pastor, elder, once again, must be above reproach. The husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. When we look at 1 Timothy 3 and Titus and other passages dealing with the qualifications of an elder, the majority of them are character-based. The majority of them have to do with the person, have to do with his character, have to do with how he lives his life, both in private and in public. But there is one clear competency that is explicit in all these passages, and it is the call to teach. It is the ability to teach, the aptness to teach, to know sound doctrine and be able to communicate and disciple other people in sound doctrine. He must be able to teach. Therefore, ultimately, he must be able to feed. Got to recognize that it is Pastor Harry's call and responsibility to feed you God's word all the time. As he said earlier, not just on Sunday mornings, but in Bible studies and in conversation, that he has the responsibility. He's not the only one who's teaching God's word. And ultimately, you are responsible for digesting and getting into God's word yourself, that you can most definitely come to God's word and the Holy Spirit and all those things together in your personal time with the Lord, and you're fed by God's word. However, he has the responsibility to making sure that is happening. And this pulpit, in other ways, he is called to feed. Titus 1:9, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught. We've already read this. So that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also rebuke those who contradict it. Feeding them comes with grounding himself in God's word. Listen to me. What he feeds you with has no value if it is not God's word. Right? And he knows this. That our opinions don't have value. Not eternal value. They're helpful maybe in processing, absolutely, and there's wisdom, but ultimately what he feeds, the substance, the health is God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this pretty plainly. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God's word is what is good for these things. Therefore, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. There is a call and expectation for elders in God's word, this expectation for them to preach God's word and to know it and to be ready in season and out of season. There's also an expectation because it's one thing to be able to explain God's word. It's another thing as pastors and preachers, we are to help you apply God's word, which means as pastors that we are called to read widely. That yes, we read and help understand so that we can help you apply God's word. And so it is our job to know it. It is our job to study. It is our job to know what's going on in your life and in our culture so that we can help apply God's word. This is what it means to feed. And Pastor Harry, you have this charge. And the application for you, church family, is would you position yourselves to be fed? Would you submit to God's word and to the preaching and the leadership of Pastor Harry in the sense of, because what he is delivering to you is the very oracles of God. So would you position yourselves? And let me, before moving on to truth number three, let me just say once more that it is not only from Pastor Harry in which you are fed. You are fed from God's word, but as Pastor Harry teaches, he is responsible to teach God's word and to lead the church in these things. And so do not hear me say that you cannot come to God's word on your own, because we believe in the priesthood of all believers. We believe in the Holy Spirit, but he has the responsibility to guard and to feed you sound teachings of God's word. But not only is a shepherd to protect, a shepherd is to feed, but thirdly, a shepherd is to lead the flock. Specifically here in 1 Peter chapter 5, we see the language of leadership. When it says in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, that you are the leader. And leadership, when we think about leading the flock, 2 Samuel chapter 5 sees this leadership alongside some authority biblically. It says this in 2 Samuel chapter 5, in times past when Saul was king over us, it was you, they're talking to King David, it was you, King David, that led out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to you, listen to this language, you shall be a shepherd of my people and you shall be prince over Israel. Now, specifically, this isn't applying to us in the very literal sense, but we do see a picture that shepherding comes with this call of authority to lead and to guide the church in all things. Meaning, and let me say this in a very clear way, meaning that the pastor and the elder is not here giving you suggestions from God's word. But as much as he is faithfully preaching God's word, he stands with the authority of God's word to lead and to guide this church. Pastor Harry has an authority given to him by God's word to pastor this church. So once again, the application and the challenge to you is, would you submit to that authority? Because you are submitting unto him as you are submitting unto Christ. Because listen to me, he is the under shepherd. You are ultimately submitting to Christ. You're ultimately submitting to God's word. But as he is faithful and stands in this position that he has been anointed and ordained by God, according to Ephesians 4, that the leaders are called out by Jesus himself into these positions, that does come with an authority. 1 Timothy chapter 5, talking about elders, says this, let elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. In Titus 1:7, Paul insists that a potential elder be morally and spiritually above reproach. Why? Because he is God's steward, Titus 1 says, And a steward is a household manager, someone who has official responsibility over this master's servants, property, finances, and all things that are given authority unto him under that master. Elders, likewise, are stewards of God's household, of the church, the local church. And then once again, specifically our passage here in 1 Peter 5, shepherd the flock that of God that is among you, exercising oversight. Now, we're going to talk about in a minute, Peter, when just a second, is going to give some explanation to that oversight and how a leader and how an elder is to shepherd in that oversight. But you need to hear me say, not as your pastor, so it's easier to say this, but you must recognize that God's word is calling you to submit to the elder of this church and the pastors of this church, current and future, if there are other pastors that come and join in this church. And I praise be to God that I'm praying for that day to come, because as this church is growing, you need more faithful elders and pastors to walk alongside you. And you are called to submit to them. Why? Because they are leading in with God's word. But truth number three directly applies and is understood better if we understand truth number four, which is this. It means that to shepherd the flock, it means that shepherds and elders are accountable for the flock. That elders are to be accountable for the flock. This morning, in my one-year reading, I read Ezekiel 33, and I was reminded of a truth that is in Ezekiel chapter 3. And I want to read Ezekiel chapter 3 too, because it's a little more clear, but it says the exact same thing. But Ezekiel chapter 3, talking about a mouthpiece, a leader of God's word, a speaker of God's word, the accountability that comes with that. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. God speaking to Ezekiel says this, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give warning to the people from me. If I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you don't share that to him, or you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person will die from his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die for his own iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul." Do you recognize the call that he has given in Ezekiel? Ezekiel, I'm going to give you words to say to the people. Both the wicked, and he goes on in the passage we didn't read, he talks about the righteous, both to the wicked and the righteous. I'm going to give you words. And if you don't share those words, guess what? The people will perish in their sin, but I will hold you accountable because you were not faithful to my words. However, if you were to speak my words, and if they don't repent, or even if they do repent, the response is no longer your responsibility. The response is on them and on the sovereignty of God. But you will have delivered your soul because you will have been faithful to the command that's given to you. You got to understand that. With that in mind, let me read Hebrews chapter 13, which says this, which connects back to truth number three, but also truth number four. It says this, "Obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account." You got to understand something, that Pastor Harry carries a weight. It's a glorious weight, but it's a weight. And it's a weight, and it's an understanding that one day he is going to stand before God, and he's going to be judged on how he has faithfully shepherded this church. So when we talk about that a pastor has a leadership call and has an authority given unto him by God's word, this is not an authoritative authority. But in fact, we'll see in a moment that this is an authority that he humbly comes and serves and wants to be faithful. And it's an authority that is given unto him because he is responsible, in a very large sense, for how he has shepherded your souls. He is responsible for protecting you. He is responsible for feeding you. He is responsible for leading you, and he is accountable for you in some very real ways. And so therefore, the challenge comes with this. But I want to segue, and I want to say something here that might be appalling. You might go, well, that's not all extremely encouraging, but let me say this. Pastor Harry will not live up to those expectations. He won't. I could never live up to those expectations. See, you got to recognize something, that as we talk about an elder as a shepherd, we recognize that this calling is a picture of only one who has ever and will ever be faithful to these expectations fully. John chapter 10, we see this beautiful picture in verse 7. Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." Why? And here's the answer. Jesus says, "Because I am the good shepherd." So when I make the statement that Harry cannot live up to these expectations, nor can any man, and the reason is because we already have a perfect shepherd. That when I say that is Pastor Harry's call and responsibility to protect, ultimately that call and responsibility to protect has already been fulfilled in Christ. And it is his calling to model and live out under God's word, to model that. But ultimately he recognizes that he doesn't carry the weight to protect this flock ultimately, but he can lay that at the feet of Jesus. In the same way that is ultimately not his responsibility to feed you perfectly, God has already fed us in the person of Jesus and with his word. He's already perfectly done that. See, if Pastor Harry could perfectly fulfill these things, there wouldn't be a need for the good shepherd. But praise be to God, there is a need for a good shepherd, and the good shepherd has come. And so when I make this statement, Pastor Harry cannot live up to this, this isn't an indictment on him. It's just a reality that there is one who already has and is your good shepherd. And we as pastors and elders of local churches and of local flocks have the privilege of stepping in as under shepherds to tangibly represent Christ in a loving way within the flock. In the same way that Christ served, we serve. In the same way that Christ fed, we try to feed and we try to protect and we try to do all of these things. But I say that because I want to point us to that he nor any elder is not ultimately the good shepherd of any flock, but Christ is. So when we begin to think about this, I want to apply this to you. I want to challenge you as a church. I want to challenge you as an individual. Is who is your shepherd? In the ultimate sense, who is your shepherd? See, when we think about protection, ultimately we need protection from ourselves. We need protection from the fact that we were born with this sinful nature. We need protection from the reality that we were born in our sin. We need protection from death. We need life. And Christ has come and he has been our sacrifice. He has been our good shepherd. It goes on to say this: the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Praise be to God that Jesus stepped in and said, "I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep. I lay down my life for my flock. I will protect them with my life." And Christ has done that for us, that it is through his wounds that we are healed. 1 Peter tells us that it is through him laying down his life that you and I can have life. He is the good shepherd. Pastor Harry is in no way your savior. In no way does any person your savior. We will fail at times as pastors and as elders, but praise be to God, as we try to follow Christ, we can faithfully say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And that is the call of what it means to be accountable for the flock, is ultimately Christ is accountable for the flock. It is his job, it is his responsibility, and he will be accountable for saying, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Together, let's get into God's word, let's do this, but he is called to lead out in all these things. This is what it means to be a good shepherd, and Christ has already perfectly modeled that for us. And so how is, looking at the bottom of your notes, how is an elder to shepherd the flock? What is the motivation? And Peter gives that to us, and quickly I will give you these three things. Let me read it again so we can see it. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 2, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly." Three ways in which a pastor or an elder is to shepherd. First is he must do it willingly, not under compulsion. That no elder should be an elder and in this position because someone has forced them to do this. Because you have push them to do so. And I promise you, that is not the case for Pastor Harry, nor should it be for an elder. But willingly, an elder should be able to step up into this call if he meets the qualifications, as he is called by God to do so. He is to do it willingly, not under compulsion. But then second, he is to do it eagerly, not for selfish gain. It says this, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not only am I to do it, an elder is to pastor and to shepherd, not because someone is forcing us, but we should do it choosing willingly by the Holy Spirit in us and calling us. We willingly do this, but we also eagerly do this. What a joy it is to pastor the church that I pastor. And I promise you, and I can tell just by how Pastor Harry talks about you, he eagerly has the privilege and eagerly looks forward to being your pastor. What a joy that is to have a pastor who willingly and eagerly does it, not under compulsion or not for selfish gain. And then lastly and thirdly, he is to do this by serving, not by domineering. It says this, verse 3, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. He is to lead by setting an example, not by domineering. To use the illustration, he is to lead by being in front of the flock, not by being behind and pushing the flock. He is to lead by example and say, come and follow me, not just point in the direction you should go, but instead be the first one down that direction. Does this make sense of what I'm trying to say and how this illustrates? Jesus would say this in Mark chapter 10. And Jesus called them and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, meaning they are authoritative. And their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be your servant would be first among you must be slave of all. Is in this same language that Jesus would go on to say that I have not come to this world to be served, but to serve. So when Peter says, rightfully so, that you are to exercise oversight, there is an authority given to you, but you do not use that position of leadership to be authoritative. You use that position of leadership to serve. And so the challenge is given to you, Pastor Harry. The challenge given to you is to protect the flock, to feed the flock, to lead the flock. Recognize that you're accountable for the flock, and you're to do this willingly, eagerly, and you're to do it by serving and not by domineering. Church family, I want to encourage you, and I want to commend to you what I believe very much so to be a man of God that you have called, that you have affirmed, that God has called to pastor you. And I trust that he will be faithful to God's word in these things. But I want to encourage you, would you follow him as he follows Christ? Would you follow him as he follows Christ? As he leads you and recognize that he is accountable for you in a lot of ways. Recognize the weight of that. Recognize the joy of that. Recognize the privilege of that. And allow him into your life. Would you allow him to position himself in your life to protect you, feed you, lead you, and be accountable for you? That is something that he will initiate by being intentional, but it's also something that you be willing and allow to happen. Would you submit? Would you follow Harry as he leads you? And then lastly, let me just say this. Would you submit and follow Christ? Once again, Harry is just a man that is sinful and no different than the rest of us, other than he is saved by God's grace and called by that power and authority to lead you. But he ultimately is not our leader. Christ is. And so question, is Christ the good shepherd of your soul? Do you recognize that he has come, he has laid down his life for you? Have you ever surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ? Have you ever called upon him for salvation? Have you ever called upon him and confessed your sins unto him and said, would you be the good shepherd of my soul? And this morning, if the Holy Spirit is calling you out, would you recognize that he is inviting you in to his flock? He is inviting you into his body. He is inviting you in, and he is a good shepherd. He has come to give you life and life abundantly, not only now, but for all eternity. He is good. And I stand here today not just because I trust the words of this book, and I do absolutely, but I stand here today because Christ is the shepherd of my soul, and he has changed my life. And by testimony, I can say he is a good shepherd, that he leads me even in the dark times, as Psalms 23 would say. He leads me in the high times. He leads me through all situations, and he is my good shepherd for all eternity. That he has indeed given me life and life abundantly. And the question is he your good shepherd? Do you know Jesus, and does he know you? And if today you're here and you go, you know what, I don't know that I would have surrendered to that lordship, that I could call him the Lord and Savior of my life, then I want to encourage you to surrender unto him, to follow him, to deny yourself and follow Christ. And if you go, I'm not sure that I'm ready to surrender fully unto Christ, but I want to learn more. And I pray that today would be a safe place where you can hear God's word. You can be challenged. Would you come and ask Pastor Harry and the other leaders, what does it mean to follow Christ? What does it mean to give my entire life to Christ? And they'd be glad to lay out for you what Scripture says about that. But the invitation for you today, first and foremost, follow Jesus. And then second, recognize the call that is on Pastor Harry's life and follow him as he follows Christ. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you're the good shepherd. Jesus, we thank you that you're the good shepherd of our hearts and our souls. We thank you that you have laid down your life for us. We thank you. Jesus, I pray over this room, if there is someone in here that is not a part of the flock, so to speak, to use that language, meaning they have not surrendered to you, that you have not saved their souls, that you have not raised them up with you, according to Ephesians 2, you have not raised them from death to life, that today would be the day unto salvation for them, that you would bring life into their hearts, that they would surrender unto you, that you would be their Lord and Savior, that you would be their good shepherd, and that they would find a loving shepherd in you today. They would see the goodness of that. And then, Father, I pray blessings over Pastor Harry. I pray that he would fall on his knees daily before you and recognize the privilege, but also the weight of pastoring this wonderful church. And that he would never do it in his own strength, but he would serve and pastor and shepherd the flock that is among him out of an overflow of you in him. And that he'd be faithful to those things, that call. And then I pray for this church family, that they would see the privilege and the honor of being led by a faithful pastor. And that they would position themselves to follow Pastor Harry as he follows you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church family.